This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, horse world. This is Coach Jen from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 21st, episode 1387, brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. The Hit'em crew is diligently packing up and returning home after their amazing 3 days at the Road to the Horse in Lexington, Kentucky. So sit back and enjoy this previously aired masterpiece, gleaned from the Hit'em audio vaults.
Monday, Monday. Trust that day.
I didn't know.
Well, it's your fault, so.
Behind our masks, we're perfectly ordinary people.
And now, our perfectly unordinary host, Jamie Jennings.
Really? Just remember, my friend, that payback can happen.
And Glenn the Geek.
I'd have to get new tights. Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the show. We're glad you're listening to Horses in the Morning this morning. And we have to issue an apology because we are having so much fun with Dr. Wendy Ying here on Friday. And we had one of the best, I think, really bad ads ever. My face hurt from laughing after on Friday. We forgot to wish all the moms a happy Mother's Day, including you, Jamie. Happy Mother's Day, everybody.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Happy Mother's Day to everybody. I love going on Facebook and seeing all the different people just, you know, honoring their mother. It makes me feel so good. You know, when I was reading all the wishes on Facebook, it gave me hope that my child someday in the future will still like me. You know, like, you know, there's
well, you're
going
to have to
go through
the period where he doesn't like you to get to the period where he does.
I know.
It
already breaks my heart that there will be a period where he will not like me. And I'm going to fight that. But I just think that all of the people I saw wishing their mothers a great day, eventually they all go back to liking their mom. So that's all I can think about.
It'll happen eventually. Eventually it'll happen.
Yeah. And I had a great husband yesterday who let me, he's like, what do you want to do today? I'm like, I want two things. I want to ride my horses and I want a foot rub. He's like, you're so easy. So I rode the horse and then I got a foot rub. So life is good.
Well, you know, you being a vegan kind of eliminates going out to dinner a lot, doesn't it? So, you know, he doesn't have that to deal with. Plus you need a baby.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we did go out to dinner. You know, that was the other thing I said. I said, I don't want to cook anything. I don't want to cook anything for anybody. So we did go out to dinner, and he made a nice breakfast of waffles. So we did go out to the kind of the place we always go to. So we had a nice dinner out, and happy Mother's Day to all of our friends who have babies with four legs, because I know you deserve the appreciation as well.
Well, good. Terrific. There's something else we have to do, too, that happened over the weekend.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Jennifer. It was Jennifer's birthday on Saturday, so happy birthday, dear. She had a lovely day, didn't you? You went out shopping with Wendy all day.
Yes. Wendy and I ran all around Ocala in a random fashion and bought stuff. It was fun.
Did you buy the giant lion that you found at one of the antique stores I saw you posted on Facebook? It was a piece of a, what are those called? Carousels?
Carousel, yeah. Yeah.
I heard a rumor that it was going to go on sale next week, so I'm waiting.
How much was it?
$2,300, I think.
Oh, gosh. Get two.
Yeah.
Come on.
You know, those carousel pieces are expensive.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They really are.
Someday I'm going to go to the zoo in Los Angeles, because they are the ones that have the carousel horse of Zenyatta. And I want to go to the zoo just to go see the Zenyatta carousel horse and get my picture on it. I will do that someday.
It was probably the same horse that was on there. They just painted Zenyatta on the saddle pad.
Or they get, and they give her the blaze. So,
yes,
but my God, it's Zenyatta with her colors and her blaze and the whole thing. So I'm sure, yeah, it's just a typical one, but I don't care. I love it anyway.
Well, bands are expensive, and I can't tell you how many people have asked that have seen that if they bought it. And Wendy's like, no, I'm a little expensive for the. It would have fit in Wendy's house, though. She has a great big house. It would have fit. It wouldn't have fit in ours, but it would have fit in hers for sure.
It's decor.
That's right. Well, happy birthday, dear.
Thank you.
Let's go to you to find out what is
on. Hang on a second, Glenn. Hang on. I got to do this. You hear it?
Yep.
I got my Star Wars birthday card. That was the best.
Oh, I'm like, what is she doing? Woo! All right, Jennifer,
her lightsaber
what is on
birthday
today's
card.
Show?
Sorry,
okay,
I had
Jennifer.
To do that. Continue.
Okay, what's on today's what's on today's show? It's your turn.
Besides the lightsaber birthday card on today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, we've got some weekend adventure stories, and we've got well wishes for winners here and across the pond in the eventing biz and others, a laugh-inducing list of terrifying everyday objects, an update on what we can learn from recent surveys, and the wacky world of Horse Nation rounds out the show. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Well, before we get to the Daily Winnies, we've had Jessica Phoenix, the eventer from Canada, on our show a number of times. And actually, she is one of the longest running steady guests that we've had. We started following her a couple of years before the World Equestrian Games in 2010. And she was a regular guest coming on our show once a month leading up to the games. So we got to know Jessie very well. We've had her on here a number of times. We've joked about how she is when she gets pregnant and rides up to about 8 months and then gets on about 2 weeks after having the baby. And she just had a baby.
Crazy.
What about? Yeah, about 2 months ago. Well, she unfortunately took a serious fall over the weekend at Jersey Fresh in New Jersey in the two-star there. She was riding Exaltation, one of her experienced horses. And apparently, and eventers are going to know what this means. I'll try and explain it to the non-eventers. There's a jump on the cross country that's a hanging log, which means it's a log like on top of a little hill. And on the backside of the jump, on the backside of the log, it's a bank that drops off. So there's a much bigger drop on the backside than there was in the front side. So you jump the log and you're really jumping into what seems like, Jamie can describe
nothing.
It better than me, what seems like nothingness. Yeah. It just seems like open air. You're just jumping into nothing and then your horse eventually lands. I don't know exactly what happened, but the horse got hung up on the log and they came down pretty hard. She was wearing an airbag, but still sustained serious injuries. They took her to the hospital. She broke three ribs. She broke her clavicle and her sacrum, even with the airbag. And then it came out that she did end up in surgery due to internal damage to her liver that she sustained in the fall. And they suspect she might have had other internal injuries as well. So she is recovering now. However, I'm sure she'll be out for quite a while. They said her helmet was smashed to pieces.
Wow.
So it was a serious fall. I haven't seen or heard of any of the details of it yet, but she is in the hospital. She'll probably be there for a few days, and we hope that she's on her way to recovery. That's just a terrible thing. And I know, you know, these people are serious competitors. The first thing that went through Jessie's mind is, I won't be able to go to the Pan Ams, which are in Canada, her home country. And I'm sure, you know, I'm sure she's laying there thinking that because that's the way these serious competitors are.
Or how am I going to breastfeed my 2-month-old child with a broken clavicle and sacrum? Like, that's what I would be thinking.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's coming from a mom. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, your clavicle is your, what are these bones up here?
Collarbone?
Collarbone, thank you. And your sacrum is your butt bone. So you can't.
Ow.
comfortably lay down or sit down. Oh my gosh, she's got to be in a lot of pain. Holy smokes, you better wean that child now so you can take some good drugs. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, and her family doesn't always travel with her, but I'm sure they were there. It was Mother's Day, so I'm sure they were there over the weekend. And, well, we wish her a very... If anybody can recover this, it's Jessica. She's one tough cookie. So yeah. we wish her the best. And my daily winning. It's also from Jersey Fresh, and it's our friend Joe Meyer, who hosts the Venting Radio show once a month, one of her own here at the Horse Radio Network, had a heck of a weekend. He traveled from Ocala up to Jersey Fresh, and he was third in the Jersey Fresh CIC two-star on his horse Clip-Clop. Clippy is the barn name for that horse, by the way. And he won the award for the closest optimum time on cross-country. He won the award for the highest-placed Irish Draft Sport Horse and third place overall in the two-star. So congratulations to Joe. That's a terrific effort, and he's very excited about the prospects for this horse. I think if things continue with Clip-Clop the way they have in the past, you'll be seeing him at Rolex or even overseas next year. So good for him.
His horses have the coolest names. Isn't his other horses named Spot? I mean, Clip-Clop and Spot. Spot? Like, that's so freaking cool.
I love that his name's Clippy for in the barn, because he's Australian, so when he says Clippy, it sounds cool.
Uh-huh.
No, he's from New Zealand. Sorry, I get that wrong all the time. And he gets mad at me. He's from New Zealand, because they don't like to get that mixed up. Your turn. You have a couple, don't you?
I do. My first daily winnie goes out to a dude who just was amazing. He's an outrider in Louisville, at Churchill Downs. His name is Greg Blasey. And a horse for a mile-long turf race broke out of the starting gate and dumped its jockey. And if you guys have looked at social media at all, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Because this horse was full gallop, and the outrider, Greg, like, went chasing after him, and the horse is, like, pulls up right next to the other horse, and he reaches over and grabs the horse's saddle, pulls him down, slows him down. His helmet flew off in the process. The photo is, like, the helmet in the air while it's happening. I mean, it's really spectacular. So definitely a big shout-out to him. People that were around said it was the best display of horsemanship they've ever seen. That's saying something.
Hmm. Yeah. You know, those outriders, you most of 99% of the time, your job is, you know, pretty boring. But the rest of the time, that other percent of the time, you're on. It's all you.
I'll tell you what. I got run away with at the track, and the outrider was sitting by where you come out on the track. I had no business riding the big race horses. The babies are much easier to ride. So I'm getting run away with on this racehorse. The regular exercise rider didn't show up that day. And I'm on this racehorse, and I'm not kidding you, Glenn. We're going 1,000 miles an hour. I've never been on a horse going that fast. And I was galloping by the outrider. And I looked over at him to see if he was going to come and get me. And he was sitting there on his cell phone and watched me gallop right by. And finally, when I stopped, I go, "What the hell, dude? Like, why didn't you come and get me?" He goes, "You stopped." I'm like,
his horse wasn't going to catch yours anyway.
Yeah. Nah, ain't no chance.
Well, you know, he knew eventually your horse was just going to run out of steam.
Exactly. And he did. And he was right. And I did stop. But it was one of the scariest things in my entire life.
All right, daily winnie time. You got another one.
My daily winnie goes out to my sweet dear husband, who's about to embark on an epic adventure. He is leaving today, get this, to fly F-16s to Indonesia. That's right, Indonesia. Put that into your Google Earth and see where that is, because it's really far. And I feel really bad that he has to sit in an F-16 and fly all the way across the world until you realize that these guys have, there's so many rules and they have to stop so many places. And he is going to fly, let's see, he flies to Salt Lake today, and tomorrow he goes Salt Lake to Hawaii. And then crew rest, they have to spend at least 36 hours there. So he'll have almost 2 days in Hawaii. And then he gets back in the jet and he flies from Hawaii to the island of Guam, where he'll then spend another couple days on the beach. And then they'll fly from Guam over to Indonesia. When they leave Indonesia, he will then be going to Bali, where he will spend a couple days in Bali. And then he'll go to Sydney, Australia. Then he'll spend a couple days in Sydney. And then they fly home commercially. So first class. So, poor guy, I just feel so bad. And the thing is, he's leading the trip, like he's in charge of it. So he had to select four other fighter pilots to go with him. So of course he selected his best friends. So his best friends and him are going on an epic adventure around the world, and they leave today.
Did they put the golf, is there room for the golf clubs in the jet? Do they, like where the bombs go, can they just shove the golf clubs?
They absolutely have room for golf clubs. Absolutely have room for golf clubs. I think it's total BS, but there's like those little travel pods under the wings of the F-16, and they perfectly fit a suitcase in one side and golf clubs in the other. So
I picture them as a bomb bay, and you know, they're going over, they're about to land, and there's the golf course, and they just open it up and they drop them right onto the first tee.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happens. and so as much as I just, oh my gosh, I can't, you know, like it sounds like so dangerous. You're going to Indonesia. And he's like, this flight is really dangerous. We're over the ocean. I'm like, whatever. I don't want to hear it.
You know, the first thing I thought of is how many bathroom breaks? Are there rest stops along the way? You know, can I every hour and a half, like when I'm driving, you know, fly into the rest stop and just take 5 minutes.
Glenn, let me tell you what they do. It's called a piddle pack. That's right, a piddle pack. And they make them, they're very easy for boys, and they're not so easy for girls.
I was going to say, not so easy for girls.
They have different ones for girls. I have a couple fighter pilot friends that are girls, and they, it's just awkward. But can you imagine trying to, I can't even do that if somebody's outside the door. I can't even pee, you know, like much less be trying to pilot an F-16, like fly an F-16 in formation while you're following a tanker. Because they have to refuel like every hour. And so they're flying along with a tanker. So can you imagine trying to? No, I can't. And again, I'm sure this is really dangerous, honey. And don't end up in Somalia or something scary like that. But that's just,
Valley doesn't sound bad, does it?
No, it's ridiculous. They're going to Bali. And he's like, oh, well, we had to build in a couple buffer days in case something happens. And I'm like, let me guess. You built in a couple buffer days in Bali. He's like, how did you know? ridiculous. But just so you also know, our government is selling F-16s to Indonesia and training them. So they should enjoy those planes.
Well, do you want to talk about badminton first, or do you want to talk about Jersey Fresh first?
I'll do badminton, you do Jersey Fresh. Go.
Okay. All right. Jersey Fresh, over the weekend, Buck Davidson took the day and won the CCI 3-star, which was the highest event that happened over there. And his mom, Carol, was there watching on Mother's Day, and his owners, Carl and Kathy Siegel, were also there. Of course, you know, Jersey Fresh is in New Jersey, so it's not too far away from Buck's home base. They're outside of Philadelphia. He jumped clear in the show jumping to clinch the wind on which horse do you think? Valley No Castle.
Reggie!
Yep, Reggie won. They did something really cool, and I really like this. His longtime groom, Kathleen, what's her last name again? Kathleen, she has a funny last name. Blouth Murray, Laufmurry, I think is how you say it. Kathleen has been his longtime groom and has taken care of Reggie for a long time. So instead of him riding Reggie into the award ceremony, he had his groom Kathleen ride him in. So I just think that was so cool that she got to do that. She's also a mom of two, and it was Mother's Day. And there's a picture, I don't know if you can see it in the show notes, Jamie, but there's a picture of her just smiling away. She was so happy. So,
yeah, that's cool.
So good for her. Lauren Kiefer came in second, and in third place was Boyd Martin on Pancho Villa. So that's how it, I'm trying to see if there's anybody else that we have as regular guests on the show that was in the top 10, but I don't believe so.
Wow.
So that was
good
that
weekend.
Yeah, it was a good weekend. They apparently had the weather held and they had pretty good weather and that it was all good. So,
no, good weekend for everybody at Jersey Fresh. Great weekend for one in particular down at Badminton. So we didn't have any Americans in Badminton this year. Now, there was a really
close. There were none?
None. Well. But there was a really close group for the top five going into show jumping. And there was, in the top five, there wasn't a rail that separated them. There was less than, like, 3 points that separated the top five. So you had to go clear. And Andrew Nicholson and Nero were in first place going into show jumping. But William Fox Pitt went in there on a stallion, jumped clean, and put himself into first place with Chilly Morning. And then by the time Andrew Nicholson got in there, he had a rail or two, and he ended up in sixth place. So William Fox Pitt on Chilly Morning won the Mitsubishi Motors Badminton Horse Trials. And just awesome fashion. He just jumped everything. I mean, didn't come close to anything, apparently. He's the first British rider to win badminton in 6 years. And it's the first stallion ever to win badminton. Isn't that amazing?
Isn't that funny, though, when you think about it, that the British have been coming over here and winning Rolex forever. We haven't won Rolex. An American hasn't won Rolex in forever. And it's the same over there. They're not winning their own home event.
That's funny, isn't it? I guess it was a very international top five because William Fox Pitt from Great Britain came in first, Ingrid Klimke, German rider, second, Jock Padgett, New Zealand, third, Mark Todd, also New Zealand, fourth, Bettina Hoy ended up finishing in fifth. She's German, New Zealand was sixth, Great Britain was seventh, Ireland was eighth, Australia was 10th. I mean, it was very international badminton this year and the victor. So I think, it was just, I love William Fox Pitt. And apparently Chilly Morning is going to be, they're going to save him basically for the Olympics, I think is what they want to do. So he's going to go back to stud duties. He's not going to compete again for the entire rest of the year.
And it was the first time a stallion has ever won that event.
Yeah. Isn't that cool? So his stud fee just went up is what I'm noticing.
You know what I also popped out at me is New Zealand was three of the top 10 over there. New Zealand did pretty well over here. New Zealand is a force to be reckoned with right now in eventing.
I know. I wonder, you know, we've stole a couple Australians. Let's steal a couple New Zealanders too.
There we go. I like that.
I think England's looking to do that. Mark Todd, the old man, is up there still in fourth place.
Gosh, he's just Superman. He is just Superman. He is so cool.
How old is he? Did we determine like 55, 56, something there?
I think he was at the Olympics. They were talking about how old he was. And he was 53. So he's got to be cool. Yeah, 55, 56. You're right.
Yeah, Jennifer, you have to look that up. See if you can find Mark Todd. Oh, here he is. He was born in 1956. So he is late 50s. Yeah, that's what he is.
That's good math right there, Glenn. Way to go.
That's the best I could do on short notice without a calculator.
Script. You're not a math guy. It's okay. I'm not either. I'm like, if he gets this, it's going to be awesome. If he just nails the math, nothing.
I'm thinking it's 56, but Jennifer can confirm that. That's what I'm thinking. I might be close. Well, that was good. So they had a good weekend. You know, having one rail with the top in the top five going into show jumping is closer than most of them are. That meant that the dressage scores were all pretty close too. So, very good.
Now, you posted a story in here which I find interesting and kind of crazy because I did this my last day of elementary school, and that is ride your horse to school. The senior class, and where was this, Glenn? It never said where this.
I think it's in like in Wisconsin or somewhere up there. I'm trying to remember too. I thought I had put it in there, but it was. It was like in Midwest someplace, and we've had these stories before, and just.
But it doesn't mean it's weird because the senior class decided to do a no vehicle to school day. So you weren't allowed to drive to school, and they were all trying to get creative to come up with alternative modes of transportation to get to school. So students rode skateboards, some rode bikes, some broke out four wheelers, so which can't be street legal. Okay, so all these people drove these and piloted these different vehicles to get to school. And two high school seniors rode their horses. They rode their horses to school. They rode on campus for about 10 minutes and then took the animals back home because they're not going to leave them tied to the bike rack, you know, all day long. So the guys' names were AJ Sauceda and Clayton Torres. And by the time they got back to school, the officials were waiting for them, and they were suspended for taking their horses to school. They said official said it's not safe for the horses to be on campus. They were totally surprised by the punishment. They had no clue that they would get in trouble. And these are high school seniors. They missed their finals because of this, because of their suspension. Missed the finals. They will be allowed to apparently make up the exams, but this just happened and they haven't made up the exams yet. And I mean, I would imagine that studying and being, you're kind of prepared for the finals and me. I don't know. I just think it's terrible. And I cannot believe I did not get suspended because I rode my horse to school, my pony, Snowflake, in seventh grade, and my dad walked her home when I went to class.
From what we've heard about Snowflake, I'm surprised she didn't hurt anybody.
Yeah.
Well, I had a lead. I had a lead.
You know, we've heard this story before, and it's not the first time somebody's been suspended. I told you it's a slippery slope. They're going to go after the horses in the cities first, and then, by the way, you'll be surprised to hear that this was in Las Lunas, New Mexico, where you think there's a lot of horses, and they'd be used to this, right?
That is crazy. That is crazy. I can't believe that. That sounds very, I mean, it's a Western state.
I got to tell you something else funny, too. People don't, you know, post these stories that don't know anything about horses. And the picture that they bought for the story, because it said free, or they didn't even buy it. It was from freeimages.com, was the picture of a very well-built English riding horse, probably an Aventer. And when I actually went to the New Mexico, finally got over to the website where it originated, it was a couple of kids on very well-used Western saddles.
So I would imagine.
The picture that the AP chose to use was much different than the picture that actually was.
I love it.
They don't know a lot about, you know, they just don't know a lot about horses.
Well, it's got to be a Frisian and an Andalusian they rode to school, too, if you do AP pictures. Because everybody rides Andalusian.
I got another story, and I want to tell you about, a little bit about the weekend. Kim Baker is going to be stopping by for a couple minutes, and I got to tell you a little bit about the weekend because Wendy was here, and we got to take Scooter out. So I'll give you the Wendy report on Scooter. But first, please, talking about horses that where they weren't supposed to be. There's two countries, India and Pakistan, have never gotten along well. They've been kind of skirmishing on their border for years. They're both nuclear countries. They both threaten to annihilate each other at times. They've just never gotten along real well. Well, what happened was there was a Pakistani Air Defense Force plane that actually belonged to the Sri Lankan Defense Forces. And it had to make an emergency landing while going over over India. So it ended up landing in India at the airport there, which caused a bunch of the Indian forces to mobilize. And on the plane, including the Indian military intelligence, the intelligence bureau, and local police, raced to the airport after this plane from Pakistan lands. And that what was on it were 8 horses from Pakistan, 13 personnel, including 8 Sri Lankan soldiers, a Pakistani major, and 4 horse handlers from Pakistan. So they obviously boarded the plane, wanted to know what they were doing. Well, apparently they were delivering those horses to a military academy in Sri Lanka that they used for equestrian support or equestrian sport. So they were actually just delivering the horses to be used for like show jumping and stuff. So, but it caused quite an incident and quite a stir when the plane landed. They didn't know what those soldiers were up to with those horses. So I don't know if they thought they were being invaded by horseback, you know, we're going to turn back time a couple hundred years, or what?
When they had the giant horse with all the soldiers inside, that's probably what it's a giant airplane with horses inside.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
It's the modern day Trojan horse.
That's right.
Thank you.
You know what would have been really cool is if the Sri Lankan soldiers were in suits of armor. That would have been great.
Draw your sword.
Oh, that's funny. And I love the title of this. Equestrian cargo on plane causes a flutter. I love that term, causes a flutter. Flutter? I think it causes more than a flutter.
Love it.
All right, let's listen. Let's hear about Omega Alpha. We're going to come back to Kim Baker, who's going to join us for a couple of minutes.
Omega Alpha specializes in natural formulations for enhancing equine health and performance, and they know how much personality and behavior can factor in the quality of our relationship, whether we're an Olympic-level competitor or modest weekend warrior. That's why they've created 3 different all-natural formulas to help us get the most out of our horse-to-human relationship. Chill Liquid, formulated especially for horses with pre-performance jitters, Chill Ultra Pace with the added benefits of B1 and magnesium, and Premare, the hormone balancer for witchy mares, and you know who you are. Look for all of Omega Alpha's all-natural formulas at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
You can also follow them on Facebook at Omega Alpha Equine. Just search for that on Facebook. They're always posting cool stuff up there. Well, of course, on the 4th Thursday of every month here on Horses in the Morning, we're joined by Kim Baker for the Kim Baker episode. And it looks like Kim is stopping by a little early this month. Hi, Kim.
Hey, Glenn. How are you?
Okay. You mean you had to get up early 2 days in a month?
Actually, it's more than that.
Okay,
it's
checking.
It's all good. It's a Monday. It's a good way to start up a Monday. And I was laughing about what you're saying about the flutter. It's like, are the soldiers fluttering around in response to horses coming off the plane? That's funny. I agree.
Yeah, it's just a silly story. So, what's up with you? What's going on?
So I heard that you guys had Ken McNabb on Friday and that he was talking about his ranch sale that he's having at his place, and just wanted to inform everybody that there is a horse ranch sale that's going on this coming weekend in the Colorado area. It's Friday, May 15th and Saturday, May 16th. It's by the Southern Colorado Livestock Auction. Friday is going to be a tax sale, a barbecue, a rodeo, a dance. There's going to be a teen and child sheep dressing. So I don't know if they're up the teens and the kids and the sheep, or I'm not quite sure what that is.
You will put these pantyhose on. Get over here.
Yeah. But maybe they're shearing. Maybe it's a competition where they're shearing the sheep, and they call it dressing. I'm not sure, but who knows? It sounds like it's fun. That all starts at 4, and then on Saturday the 16th, 10 o'clock is the horse demonstrations, and 12 o'clock is when the horse sale begins. This is one of the finest horse sales around. And they're Southern Colorado Livestock Auction. Their website is www.sclaauction.com. They're located at 5660 East Highway 160, which is in Monta Vista, Colorado, 81144. And the phone number there, if you have any questions, you can contact John and Sabina. Their phone number is 719-852-9500. That number again is 719-852-9500. These all look like, ranch horses, so my guess would be quarter horses in general. But they're all, there could be paints. And looking at some of the photos, they definitely have got any color you possibly could want. Gray, bay, chestnut, sorrel, paints, different colored paints. We've got black and white. We've got brown and white, so palominos, a couple palominos in there. So anything that you're looking for.
I just went to the website at sclaauction.com, and one of the things that is so amazing, and I'm sure you take it for granted because you live in Colorado, but when I'm looking at the pictures of the pens where they keep the horses and where the auction is, it is absolutely stunning with the Rockies in the background. You probably take that for granted, but we live in Florida. We have nothing. There's nothing. I mean, I think the highest point in Florida is right outside of Orlando, and it's about 10 feet high. So it's one of the roller coasters at Disney World, the highest point in Florida. And I'm looking at your pictures, and they're just stunning. It's unbelievable.
It's a beautiful, beautiful area. And, when I walk my dogs every morning and I get to see the mountains, even in Denver, you still have we call it the Front Range, that you can see. We got snow this weekend. I had 6 inches yesterday morning.
What?
Yes, on my deck. And snow anytime in Colorado. It had been raining all week long, and then the low just kind of went in the sweet spot, and temperatures dropped enough, and we got snow. So I haven't walked my dogs yet this morning, but it's nice and sunny. We're supposed to be, I think, in the 60s today, 70s tomorrow. And so it's beautiful. It's breathtaking. Like you said, the mountains with all the snow on them. So if you even if you're not in the market for a horse, and you just want to see ranch horses and you want to be in a beautiful area, then definitely check out the auction this weekend in Monta Vista, Colorado.
Kim and Glenn, while you guys have been talking, I've been doing some research on what sheep dressing is, and I believe it has something to do with shearing the sheep. I think you were right. But if you Google sheep dressing, the first thing that comes up is a video of 2 Boy Scout leaders actually dressing a goat. Literally socks, diaper, the whole thing. It's on YouTube. Sheep dressing, I don't know. It's not even a sheep. I don't know. But
it's a goat.
It's a goat. And they're walking it around, and it has a Boy Scout uniform on and a diaper. Oh. So just you can Google. You can find anything on Google. It's kind of frightening.
That's a very good point. So, they're having the barbecue and the dance Friday night, so maybe you can dance with a sheep or a goat.
Yeah, or a goat.
Who knows?
Dress up
one
your
of the
date.
Comments, one of the comments, because the title is Dressing a Sheep, one of the comments is, that's a goat, stupid.
Well, speaking of goats, I just posted on my KB Natural Horsemanship Facebook page this morning a video of these goats. Goats crack me up. Right? They turn everything into a play item. Well, there's two, they might be burros, they might be donkeys. But these little goats are jumping on the backs of these donkeys, and they're just playing around. And then one of the goats turns wrong and just slides off. So he tries to jump back on and just nails the donkey, like right in the ribs. And the donkey's like, hey, man, and he walks off. It's really, it's like a minute long. It's really cute.
Oh, we'll have to look that one up.
Yeah, go check it out. It's pretty cute. And I'm impressed, you know. I mean, they're the little goat's hooves and stuff. I would think that that wouldn't feel quite so good on my back, but the donkeys were okay
with
it.
It's like a massage. It's like a massage. It's like a little pointy massage.
Go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pay big bucks for massages.
Deep tissue, you
know?
One
for free. That's right. Well, Kim, thank you so much. It's we'll post a link to the auction also on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. We appreciate you stopping by. And, of course, you can catch Kim on the fourth Thursday of every month. And so she'll be back here in a couple of weeks, right after Memorial Day, right?
That's right. Yes, the 28th.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Kim.
Thank you both. You guys have a wonderful day.
Take care.
Bye.
Well, speaking of other hosts, Dr. Wendy was here Friday and Saturday all day while her boyfriend was out at the Qi Institute studying Chinese medicine, which isn't too far from here. And we had a great time. It was the first time in 2 years since we got Scooter. Go ahead. Just play it.
I don't have it. My thing is blank.
Okay.
My switchboard is blank.
Oh, okay. Well, Jennifer will take care of that for you, I'm sure. But
there we go.
My little pony. I know.
Perfect.
You wouldn't be happy unless that was played. So
I was going to sing it otherwise.
We had a great time. We got to drive each day, and she really helped us with you know, because we're self-taught and have never had a lesson. I've never had a lesson on driving a horse. Even hooking up the harness and making sure the cart is balanced right and all of that stuff is kind of like guesswork if you don't know, right? Or if nobody teaches
you.
So, and there's a lot more parts to a harness than there is a saddle. So we got some lessons in how to hook it up correctly, and apparently we had the cart all adjusted wrong. So poor little guy was getting a lot more weight on his back than he should. And when we adjusted it correctly, the first time he walked off, he was like, You could see him going, what's wrong? Why is there no pressure on me? He was just kind of confused. He was like, oh, what's going on? Are you back there? So that was kind of cool. And she did help, but she was very impressed. She said he's doing very well. She's not a big pony person, and especially Hackney. She's had bad experiences with him in the past, and she was very impressed with how good he was. And it was interesting because she said he must have been what's called the old blood of Hackneys. Hackneys, they've changed them through the years, and they're much finer now, and they're much more refined, and they're kind of dainty looking. They look like ballet dancers. And she said he's a lot more sensible, and he's built like a tank, so he must be more like the old blood. And then she looked it up and found out he was old blood.
Oh,
Hackney.
Cool.
So that was kind of cool. And she helped me a little bit with trotting and, you know, controlling the speed trotting. He did have a BB, which we call a baby bolt. He did have a baby bolt when we were out on the road the first day. You were busting my chops about that on Friday. And she said, that was interesting. She hung on tight. But he didn't go but 10 steps, and I brought him back. And she basically said, well, about all you can do is try to get him back when he does that and try and work on his desensitization training. There was a car that was coming up behind him, but he usually does. Oops, sorry about that. There usually is not a problem with cars coming up behind, but he had a problem at that point.
That's great advice. Does she give you any exercises on desensitization? Well,
yes,
we figured out something to do for that, Glenn.
Yeah. Hey, Jennifer, go ahead and explain that while I have to change mics. Mine just fell down.
Oh, there you go. Well, PT is terrified of certain swishy sorts of sounds, like the sounds that leaves make, and sometimes it's plastic bags and stuff like that. So we took PT out into the arena, and Glenn trotted around the perimeter of the arena while I trotted around PT doing laps with a plastic bag stuck on the end of a stick and flapping it viciously on while I was riding Beaker. So that was really kind of interesting.
Okay, so you're sitting on Beaker, trotting around slapping a plastic bag. Well, Beaker is a good boy, huh? And what did Scooter do while you were doing that?
The first couple of times I went past him, he would kind of do something like a leg yield, but out of control.
as I would go by.
Wow.
Especially when I'd come up behind him, because obviously he can't see me back there with the blinkers on.
Blinkers.
In a way, it was a little bit disappointing. And now I see how Glenn feels, because back in the day when I was breaking young horses, he would always come out and watch the first couple of times I got on a young horse, just in case there were any fireworks and he needed to dial 911.
Right.
In fact, he was coming out to watch the rodeo. And inevitably, when there were no fireworks, he'd pick himself up and stroll back into the house after about 15 minutes and go, well, that was pretty anticlimactic. But yeah, now that
I like it that way.
I ran around in circles with a plastic bag flapping in front of PT Scooter's face and PT didn't really do anything, I see where he's coming from. It was a little anticlimactic. I was expecting all kinds of fireworks and bolting and upset husband, and none of that happened.
Huh. Well, I mean, I'm just curious, because there's, you know, everybody has different desensitization kind of techniques that they want to use. And while some may work for, like, Edward is super afraid of plastic bags. And so, you know, aside from, I haven't put one on the end of a stick yet, but I'm just curious to know what you guys did. And then, like, Thor, I've been line driving him. And it's funny, his Mustang comes out when you disappear. He doesn't have blinkers on or anything. But when you are line driving him and you're off to the side and he can see you, he's fine. But the second that you get behind him out of his view, he kicks his hips one way or the other, like, where are you? Where are you? I mean, obviously he's going to have to get used to it, but it's just interesting to see the different things that bother horses.
Beaker's the same way, that when I ground drive him, he's cool as long as he can see me to one side. But if he can't see me at all, he stops dead and becomes a statue. He will not move until he knows where I'm at.
Where are you? You've disappeared behind me. You're probably going to jump on my hip and attack me. I'm like, no.
Oh, yeah, maybe that's it. I don't know. And he's a riding horse. It's like he doesn't see me when I'm sitting on his back. I don't get it. But, you know.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, let's go ahead and play our song since Glenn is off doing his thing. And I don't have a switchboard, Jen, so maybe you can play it. But I don't even know what it is. So let's find out.
Okay, I'm gonna surf down through here, and I'm going to find Glenn's song. Let's see here. We've got this. Oh, there we go. That's a song. I'm going to hit that button. It's called Let's Rock. It'll be fun. Coach Jen here, and I'm here with Debbie from EquestrianCollections.com, and she's got the EquestrianCollections.com Product of the Week. Take it away, Debbie.
Oh, well, hi, Jen. One thing I wanted to do a shout-out to one of our best listeners, somebody who listens to us every week, and that's Sandy Anastasio down in North Carolina. So just wanted to say hi, Sandy. We appreciate you. This week I wanted to talk about the Horse Bristol Fly Blanket. The reason I'm featuring this is not only because it's at the very beginning of fly season, but this one is a little bit different. The top of it is actually waterproof. So when you're in places that, if it's going to be a rainy day, but, you know, sometimes after the rain, ugh, the bugs are horrible, this sheet, it's a fly blanket. They call it a fly blanket because of the waterproofing, it's a little bit, it's not at quite as cool as some of the fly sheets. But it's got the waterproofing on the top. The sides are the mesh, just like, you know, most fly sheets, so that it's cool. But it's still got that waterproofing on the top, and it's got a full neck that comes with this that goes all the way up, you know, to behind the ears. It's not detachable. It's one piece. So if you live in an environment where there's quite a bit of rain and you want to protect your horse from particularly the bugs after a rain, and you want him to be covered all the way up to his neck, this is the sheet for you. So it's called the Horse Bristol Fly Blanket. It's less than $100 on our website, www.equestriancollections.com. There's a size chart there, so you can take a look at that. It comes in one color. It's white and dark blue. The waterproofing part is a dark blue. So I think that's something that you should look for, especially if you live in kind of a rainy climate. It's also machine washable in cool temperatures. So that's a good thing, too.
This is a fantastic product, Debbie. I'm so glad that Hors is making this. There was another company many years ago that made this product, and they stopped making it, and I have one. It's a waterproof sheet on top and a fly sheet on the bottom. And here in Florida and many other parts of the country, we're in the South, it is warm enough to have flies, but cool enough that if your horse gets rained on, he's going to get chilly. And it's fantastic because it pours down rain. It keeps the top of his back dry. But then when it mm-hmm. stops raining, it's not so warm that they get overheated underneath, and it keeps the flies off. Because the minute it stops raining, the flies are back out. This is a fantastic product. Have one, use one. Recommended highly.
A guy who won't try to move too fast. Oh, girl, it'd be a shame to take this slow. I've got an extra saddle, and I know that you can handle the stallion waiting right down the road. We can run above hooves and crash like thunder. Fast as lightning flashing in our eyes. I think you know the spell you got me under. Let's ride. We can ride to the head of the canyon from the desert bottom down below. To the aspen and the sage, to the pine trees in the shade. We'll hide. Baby, let's ride. I suppose I could be entertained just sitting here watching you, watching them just try to take you home. With all these guys surrounding you, like flies you ought to swat a few. If you wanna be alone, let's go. We can run above hooves and crash like thunder. That's the lightning flashing in our eyes. I think you know the spell you've got me under. Let's ride. We can ride to the head of the canyon from the desert blossom down below. Through the aspen and the sage, to the pine trees in the shade. We'll hide. Baby, let's ride. Adventure takes your breath away. If you're caught up with emotion and you can't explain away, you can kiss me on the cheek and I will hold your hand. If it leads to something more, I will understand. Let's run above hooves and crash like thunder. Fast as lightning flashing in our eyes. I think you know the spell you got me under. Let's ride. We can ride to the head of the canyon from the desert blossom down below. Through the aspen and the sage, to the pine trees in the shade. We'll hide. Baby, let's ride.
And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. That is one of my ultimate crushes, Jared Rogerson and his song, Let's Ride. Oh, my gosh. I love every song that guy sings. I just can't get enough of Jared Rogerson. You can find him on CD Baby. I believe he's on iTunes, too. Or go to jaredrogerson.com. Now, we were just talking about horses spooking, Jennifer, and I found a list here. Actually, Glenn found this list, and it is the top 10 items that your horses will spook at. And I want to put this, like, make this our question of the day, is what does your horse spook at the worst? Like, what is your horse's least favorite item? Because we definitely have a horse here who loses his mind over one particular thing. You know, I mentioned Edward has a phobia of plastic grocery bags to the point where I'll take carrots out there in a grocery bag and he will stand in the back of his stall. Yes, I need to do the desensitization work. I know, blah, 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 but I just have to. So
I have a funny desensitization. I can't say that story for you.
I know.
It's had a OTTB once and was riding him out through a cornfield, which was the corn was 5.5-6 feet high. And we're just walking along through the cornfield and we walk between the rows and we accidentally drifted just a little too close to the edge of the cornfield where there was an electric fence. And the electric fence touched said OTTB.
Oh,
and
Lord.
We took off like a rocket and survived to the end of the bolt. But after that, if he heard, saw, even wondered if there was a corn stalk anywhere around, he was into the next county before I could blink my eyes. And this is bad because they used to use corn stalks to decorate show jumps all the time.
Oh, no.
And yeah, this is bad. And we also had corn planted in our farm. So this is really a big problem. So what I did is I took corn stalks and I tied them into bundles and tied them into the corners of his stall.
Corner stall monsters. Hello.
Corner stall
monsters. That's a real thing.
Yes, but I left the corn on the corn stalk. So there were ears of corn hanging on it. And I peeled them back so he could see the corn in there. And after about 3 or 4 days of standing exactly in the center of his stall, I came in one morning and lo and behold, he had eaten all the corn off the corn stalk.
Yeah. Oh, these aren't so bad. Yeah, I did that with Demir, my warm blood. He was afraid of bicycles. And we have these Mare Motel stalls here. So it's just basically panels in the stalls and a roof over them. And so I set my bicycle next to where I fed him his grain. And I would just pedal back. You know, you can pedal backwards. I would just sit on the bike and pedal backwards while he would eat. And I thought, well, this is good exercise. And you would think that it would work, but I think it was when the bicycle was moving. So it didn't actually do anything, but I did get some exercise. So, Glenn, are you back?
I think I'm back. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. We can hear you. So some of the things on the list, number 10 was blowing paper. Absolutely. And the worst is when you're in a dressage test and somebody like lets go of a wrapper from their, you know, candy wrapper or something and it blows across. That's the worst. I think it's blowing paper is equally as scary depending on the location and inside or a little rectangle. It is definitely the scariest inside of dressage.
You know what's weird is for horses, it doesn't have to be much. If it just seems out of place, like they've seen something 100 times before. The other day when I brought Scooter, I was ground driving him. I ground drive him for a couple minutes before we hook into the cart. Wendy had put her white towel that she puts on the seat over the back of the cart. So when Scooter saw that, he freaked out. There was something on his cart. But he had seen the cart like a million times, right? But there was a white towel on the cart, and that was wrong.
You know, a woman told me one time that I was riding her Arab, and he was just so spooky. And she said that in an Arab, and maybe in Beaker too, that this is the worst excuse for a bad horse I've ever heard. She said that the horses that spook at things that are different are super well-trained because when back in the day, you would ride your horses out through the desert and you would come back. Now, this is Arabian. So they would come back to camp. Horses would spook if things in camp were different. So they would let the people know if invaders were in their tent and in their midst. I'm
she
like,
read a book.
So
she was reading an old book.
I'm like, this horse is half Arab, half warm blood, and he is 1,000 years removed from anybody, any relatives living in the desert. So let's just call a spade here. This is a terrible, ill-mannered horse. She didn't like that. I didn't ride him much longer.
I should have come up with that one. That was a good, that was great. I'll have to try that next time.
Yeah, he's trained, Wendy. He's trained to notice differences.
Yes, right.
So just in case somebody puts that towel there and is hiding in the stall with a gun, I will know because he's spooked. Number 9 was barking dogs. You know, I don't know why. I think the energy of barking dogs really ramps up horses.
You know what, though? I got to see, see, PT's a little different. It's if the dogs don't bark that it bothers him. Barking dogs don't bother him at all because I think he sees them. He knows what they are. They're usually fenced in. It's the dogs that run up to the fence that aren't barking that get him. And Beaker, too.
Yeah. Well, that's scary. That's scary, too. Number eight is definitely something that horses spook at, and that is a puddle of water.
Water.
Because it's a bottomless pit. And if they step into the puddle, they will immediately be sucked into Middle Earth. I'm pretty sure that's what they think. Number seven, trash cans. Again, I think it's the they're there, they're not there, they're there, they're not there. You know, I think they're pretty scary. Number six, babies and little kids. And I'm going to add something to babies and little kids. I'm going to add strollers. Because, you get some eat crap looks if you got a baby in a stroller at a horse show. People are like, avoid you like the plague. You're just this horrible person. But I get it because my horses all spook to baby strollers, too. Number five, I don't know this one, but plaid horse blankets. So our horse is afraid of plaid.
Yeah, I've never known one to be afraid of plaid horse blankets. Maybe.
Yeah, me neither. Number four was ropes and hoses ground. Snakes.
We had an Arabian one day that was one of the border's horses that horse just would not walk over a hose. She would spend an hour trying to get him to walk over a hose. And Danny, I'll never forget his name. His name was Danny. And he just would not walk over a hose. That was not something he was ever going to do, and he just didn't do it.
I think we should bring Leslie on here for the last three, because I think three, two, and one are all interchangeable. And Leslie rides a bunch of hot horses. So three, two, and one can go anyway. And again, Leslie, this is a list of the top 10 spook list for horses.
Yes.
And again, this can be interchangeable. Number three they had is ponies or minis. That is by far the scariest thing to poor little Chili in the backyard. Number two is windy days. For some reason, the wind blowing, and then carts and wagons. If horses, by God, there's a lady in my neighborhood that drives minis, and it is like, and drive a mini on a windy day, all my horses will have a heart attack.
That happens to us too. When I'm driving through the neighborhood, if people are riding and they're coming the other way, you see them turn and they take a different route because the cart.
Run! It's a pony driving. What are your horses afraid of, Leslie?
Let's see. Large birds. Okay. That's a thing.
Okay.
Other species. Mules. Terrifying. Like what is? I know you're a horse. You seem horse-like, but your ears
but
are messed up. Yeah.
smell.
Those ears are terrifying.
Yeah.
It's like the movie Elf. You're not Santa Claus. Santa smells like cookies. You smell like beef and cheese.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, my horse right now. That's Bree. It's big birds and mules.
Okay.
Neither of those makes any sense to him. He cannot wrap his head around it. No.
Two things that were not on the list. I love it. Yeah, windy days. I always have students will call, their moms will call, and is it too windy to ride? No, get your butt out here and pack up. What are you talking about, windy to ride?
Exactly.
Little princess's horse may spook. It happens. You know, you got to learn.
What's the worst excuse you've ever had? Jennifer can probably answer this too, for not coming to ride. What's the one that just blew you away?
Well, the windy one is pretty good.
That was pretty lame, yeah.
I mean, threatening rain, you know, and we live in the desert. For some reason, if it rains here, everything stops. Everything stops. You get nothing. People can't drive. They can't leave their houses. They get bread and milk for rain. Like, it's crazy.
It's for rain.
yeah. I've
had quite a few over the years of you can't ride if it's too close to mealtime.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you
got to eat once they eat.
You know, those children are not going to make it through the night if they don't eat at 5 o'clock.
Yeah. It's too close to mealtime, not going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a, you know, it's funny how they say when old people could start to revert back to children, but the mealtime thing is one of those, right? Children eat, you know, early, and then old people eat early. We know that we can get a restaurant around here at 6 o'clock. It clears out. You're good to go.
Yeah. Oh, so Leslie, by the way, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us.
Hello.
On a beautiful Monday morning. Now, I heard Horse Nation was out of town. I got to admit, mm-hmm. So I haven't been checking, but Horse Nation was broken.
It breaks occasionally, you know, just technology, internet, you know, I don't know.
What'd you do, Leslie? What'd you do to it?
Also me.
Leslie,
I'm sure.
Broke Horse Nation. That's what it is.
I know. We always aim to break the internet, but sometimes the internet breaks us. So what do you do?
You know, it is a dream of every web person and us too. It's a dream that you actually have so much traffic, your website goes down. Now, that's happened to Eventing Nation a few times.
Oh, yeah.
But that is a dream that everybody has. It means that you're doing well when your website crashes.
Yeah, yeah. I think this may have been the first year at Rolex that the website did not crash. It's a little bit of, like, celebrated tradition at Eventing Nation. So, like, when's it going to happen? Woo!
Now, when you break it for a different reason, then it's a different story. Like when you accidentally delete some piece of code that was very important to the whole website.
Yeah, who knew? Yeah. Just a few little like random numbers and letters could be so important.
Yeah, those characters. Nobody needs those little characters, those little colons and things that are all just in code. Who needs those?
Yeah. Who needs that? Mm-hmm. Apparently kind of important.
And then I always have to call the big geek. I have to call John the geek. I'm Glenn the geek. He's John the geek. And
oh,
John
he's
the
total,
geek.
Total geek.
Yeah, he's a total geek. And he goes into the code and then comes back and says, Glenn, why'd you delete these three characters? And I'm like, hell, I don't even know. I was deleting characters. But he finds it. I mean, there's a million lines of code and he knows exactly where to go to find the one I deleted.
Yeah.
Makes you feel like an idiot. Like, why didn't you see you delete those three characters? Was that something like that, Leslie? Something like that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, all the time. All the time. He just goes in and, like, I'm like, that looks like a different language on the, it's just a bunch of backslashes and little weirdy symbols. And I'm like, what is this? It's like he can read, you know, I don't know. How does this make any sense to him? I have no idea.
Well, you brought up a story here that we have to talk to you about because it seems like one or the other of us is stealing ideas here. You know, first we started, and I think we can take credit for this. We started really bad ads on Fridays with bad Craigslist ads, and then all of a sudden on Horse Nation, bad Craigslist ads start showing up. Now, mm-hmm. You have us by a day with this one. Because Thursday we started what would you do or something like that. I forget what we called
would
it.
Would you rather.
But would you rather. Did we call it that? Because yeah, that's what Horse Nation called it. Equestrian,
well,
would you rather.
This is our second edition of Equestrian, would you rather. Oops. I feel like we even played it on the show at one point. Yeah,
probably.
Would you rather. March 27th.
Listen, so we sold out from
I have a very strict policy that if you are stealing from me, you are stealing twice. Because I have stolen it. So we probably stole it from you a long time ago and just forgot that we were stealing it from you because we just steal stuff. So it's probably our fault.
There are no original ideas.
No.
Everything's out, yeah, especially on the internet.
Let's play.
Okay.
I want to play.
Let's play.
Love
okay,
this game.
So we've got, what do we got here? Hold on, I have to find it now. Where'd you go? All right, Equestrian, would you rather? This is spring edition. Time for another round of questions where there is no right answer. Got a 10 questions. There are no right or wrong answers, so everyone wins.
Okay.
and these are all spring themed. I'll read you a few of my favorites. Okay. Would you rather never see a case of thrush or rain rot ever again?
Ooh, gosh, they're both plaguing. And being that I live in the desert, thrush is more prevalent than rain rot. We don't really get rain rot here. However, I have had it in other places, and it is worse than thrush.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
Rain rot.
Yeah. What about you, Glenn?
Can I change thrush to scratches? Because I seem to have this battle with my pony and scratches. So we don't have thrush or rain rot too much, but scratches are a pain.
Yeah.
Just have to keep treating. But if I had to pick between those two, I'd pick thrush.
Yeah.
I got perfect scratches meds for you, dude. I'll tell you after the show.
Okay.
Right. it'll fix it. Change everything.
Okay. I look forward
okay.
to it.
Okay. Okay, here's another one. Here's a good one. Would you rather have lush, fertile pastures that you have to walk 20 minutes on foot to access, or a so-so paddock close to the barn? You can't have both.
Okay. I got to read this one. That was too much information to be read to me.
Okay. Would you rather have, like, a beautiful, lush pasture that you have to walk 20 minutes to on foot? Or would you rather have a so-so paddock close to the barn?
I want the pasture. I want the pasture.
I knew we were going to be opposite on this one. I just knew it because you were going to pick the pasture and I'm going as a horse husband. I want the paddock close to the barn. See, I knew we were going to be opposite on that one.
Yes, but as a horse husband, you have to clean that paddock. A giant, big, lush pasture that's 20 minutes away, you don't have to clean.
Yeah. And also, if you're lazy like me, you just bring your helmet with you and a carrot and your halter, and you walk 20 minutes out, and then you ride back, and the horse is already warmed up.
And you and they come when you call them because they know you're a big giant carrot, so they you have to go chase them.
Yeah,
I love it. Okay, next.
Okay, next. Would you rather own a plain Jane bay that's low maintenance to clean, or an eye-catching gray that's constantly filthy?
Man, I've always wanted a beautiful gray, but I own a bunch of dark bays and plain bays right now, and it's so easy. I'm going to go with bay. Let's go with what you know.
Yeah, yeah. I own a bay and a gray, and I'm going to go with bay.
You're not picky.
Got to go with the bay.
Yeah, me too. I'm in with the bay. I never wanted to own a gray, so I'm in with the bay. That one's easy for me.
Someday, when I'm in my 60s and I own my beautiful white Andalusian stallion, I may change my answer. But for now, I'll stick with the dark bays that can stay dirty.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Would you rather only ever ride one discipline but be a champion within it, or get the opportunity to dabble in many disciplines?
Now, Leslie, I know your answer, and it's the same as mine. I want to be champion. I want to be the champion in my discipline.
I want to own it.
I want to own
queen.
It. Glenn? Yeah, we're the eventing queen. We would win Rolex by far. That would be what we would want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. Did you get a lot of responses that were the other way on that one? I wouldn't think so.
Mm. I don't know. You know, some people, variety is the spice of life. I guess, whatever.
Yeah. I guess if you're competitive, you're usually competitive in one discipline, you know, or you're not usually in multiple disciplines, not in the horse world.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I love this one. Never see snow again or never see mud again. And I can say, move to Florida, you'll never see either. It's great.
You're a jerk.
We have no mud. We have no snow.
Yeah. Good for you.
Good for you.
Moving on.
Moving on.
But the places that have snow also have mud. I mean, you've got both, right? I mean, the places that have snow also have mud.
Yeah,
very seldom
do
you have snow and no mud. You know, very seldom do you have snow and sandy soil. So.
Right.
It doesn't happen. Yeah. I feel bad for you. I really do.
Did you see those pictures from Colorado this weekend? They got snow. They have snow on the ground out there.
We just had someone on the show who was from Colorado. She had 5 inches on her deck in the morning.
Bonkers.
That's crazy. Well, let's go to the next story. What's with the football players and the horses?
Oh, yeah. This is hilarious. So I guess Auburn University just, so they were like, what happens if we switch up some, like, our intercollegiate teams? Like, have, you know, some of the, you know, some of the student-athletes try each other's sports out. And,
this is a nightmare. I mean, I cannot believe that Auburn would allow this. Let me just say that first off.
Yeah. And the best, and then they montage this whole thing together to "I Have a Tiger," of course. but hands down, the best is they have a football player. First they have the clip of like this girl on the equestrian team just cantering beautifully around, executing a flawless flying change, and then this football player is watching. He puts his helmet on, gets on the horse, and of course, hilarious disaster ensues. I mean, this guy falls off so hard that his shoe comes off.
I love the fact that he's wearing his football helmet. And he has his mouth protector in.
So
Man,
the poor horse. The horse is just like, what is going on? Who is this dude on this giant linebacker on my?
He'll never be making fun of the horse girls again, will he?
Yeah. And then the horse girls dress. Then the horse girls suit up as football players, and that's pretty cute too.
There was another one on your on horsenation.com, and we haven't talked celebrities and movies in a while, and that was Robert Duvall starring in horseback in the upcoming Wild Horses.
Yeah, I had not heard about that.
You heard about that, Jamie? It's an indie film called Wild Horses.
No, but I find it amazing that James Franco on a horse did not catch my radar.
Yeah, right?
When's it coming out? I'm looking at it here. This is exactly what appears. It's a father-son story, of course, set in a Texas ranch about an estrangement and acceptance. Oh, God, it's boring already.
Yeah.
But also family secrets and the bold cover-up. The horses are part of the... It's a chick flick.
Well, Robert Duvall is a big... He lives up in... He has a farm up in Middleburg. He's a big horse person. Right.
Usually whatever movie he's in, he ends up buying the horse from the movie.
Aww.
Yeah. But
James Franco seems like a city. He seems like more of a city mouse than a country mouse. I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around that one.
Let's see here. Yeah. It says it's a modern day Western that lacks a lot of that cheesy Western feel. So it makes them fun. Cheesy Western. So we'll
What's
have to see.
There's no cheesy Western fun. There's nothing left of a Western.
That's right.
It's the whole thing.
That's right. Whatever happened to Blazing Saddles, huh?
Whatever happened to Blazing Saddles.
I saw a little bit of that. It was on TV the other day. I watched a little bit of that. It's still funny. I don't care what anybody says.
Great movie.
All right, well, when's this coming out? Do we have any idea? There's the trailer.
Yeah, it doesn't say. I don't know. I mean, it says it was at South by Southwest. Scott screened at South by Southwest.
It did not get stellar reviews. But then horse movies never do, right?
I mean, right. Yeah, so you never know. If it'll maybe it'll show up on the, in theaters. Maybe it's one of those we'll have to seek out. I don't know. We'll keep an eye on it.
All right, very good. Well, good luck with the website this week, and I wish I'd noticed it last week because I would have sent you a snarky email, but then you wouldn't have got it because your website was down.
Yep.
I would have called you. Sure, I would have been happy to rub it in a little bit. Us webmasters, we love to rub it into each other because I know you broke it. I know you did.
Oh, I know. This is what I get for getting on my computer. I should never be allowed to get even like touch my computer before I've had a cup of coffee in the morning.
Hey, see, that's better than, I bet we have one up on you on one thing, is your website. Jamie might not even know about this. Your websites were not hacked by Arab terrorists.
Oh.
Were you ever hacked by
true.
Arab terrorists? Yeah.
No.
We were. The one day I got a call, I was out at the barn where Jennifer kept her horse when we lived in Kentucky. This was pre-Jamie, I think. And I got this call from one of our listeners who said, your websites have some really disturbing stuff on them. And they really were. It was these messages from like Al-Qaeda about how they were going to destroy the United States and kill the world and kill everybody and all the heathens and all that stuff. And it was these fire and it was all this. The whole website was black with fire and all these messages on it. And that was Horse Radio Network's website at that point. So
wow.
I was out at the barn. I was like a half an hour from home. I called the hosting company and I said, can you do something about this? And she said right away, oh, you've been hacked. I said, yeah, I noticed.
Oh, man.
And they were able to put it back within an hour. We were back to the previous website. But yeah, so we were hacked by terrorists.
Wow. Wow. Well, I'll have to keep working on that.
Was that before you came on
that one?
I don't remember that at all. And I was so confused when you brought up that Horse Nation being tagged by, I was like, where is he getting this from? Now it makes sense.
Yep, that's right. Because we were attacked. Well, thank you, Leslie. We appreciate you joining us.
Sure thing. Have a great week, guys.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
HorseNation.com. We want to wish our best to everybody in Texas. It's been having horrible weather. And I just noticed that they have a bunch of new tornado warnings up in Texas again right now. So, you know, you had that scare the other day over the weekend. Did you get home okay, by the way? Was everything okay after your traumatic day? I was telling everybody, by the way, about your descent and ascent in the airplane trying to avoid tornadoes. That's quite a story.
And you know what's amazing is that the pilot was very frank. We're going down, we go back up, and he's like, ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. Just want to let you know that we are now ascending due to a tornado at the airport. So we are going to go ahead. And I was like, he just said it so casual and matter of fact. I'm like, this guy must be from here. Like, because people that are from Oklahoma, they don't think it's any big deal. They all have shelters. They all, like, my sister-in-law, she's like, well, come see our shelter. And it's this underground bunker thing. And it's like you climb down in it, and they have lights, and they keep some water down there, and they have games for the kids. Like, come on, kids, get in the shelter. Yay. Oh, nightmarish. So I said to her, I go, what if the house falls down on top of this thing? I mean, it's an underground bunker with like this sliding door. She's like, oh, well, do you see the winch? We can winch the door open. Like, but there's still house on top of you. It makes no sense. And the fact that you need a winch to open the door, she's like, just climb down. I almost died of just being claustrophobic. It seems awful.
Yeah, that is. I got to have them, right? You got to have them. I mean, they're out there in tornado country. You got to have it.
And what they were telling me, too, is, you know, fortunately, they know. The weather prediction systems and all that are in place are so good that you know when it's coming, you know exactly where it's going to be. It's never a surprise. So that's good.
And they all have the weather radios and all that stuff, too, I assume, that are going off every 5 minutes.
On Saturday, we were out to a luncheon, and it's like, the entire restaurant all of a sudden went, everybody's phone went off for flash flood warning. Everybody in the restaurant.
That's funny. That is the way it is out there, though. That's the way it is. I love my favorite line of you telling that story on Friday of your descent was what Chad said. When the fighter pilot says, oh, that's not good.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's not good. That's never good when the fighter pilot says it. Oh, that's
no.
Not good.
I always, when I get on a plane, as it's like so dorky wife of me, I always want to just tell like somebody, like the flight attendant or something, hey, if you need somebody, he can fly it. Okay. Don't
be a
hero.
If the pilot has a heart attack, he's good. Yeah.
If the pilot has a heart attack, you've got another one back here. Like, don't you always think like over the loudspeaker, does anybody know how to fly one of these things? Like, you know, I always wonder if that's going to happen. I'm like, he does. I got one. He knows. Like, is there a doctor on board? No, we can't do that, but we can land this sucker.
Has he ever flown anything bigger than the jet, the fighter jets? Has he ever flown like a you know, a passenger jet?
He's type rated for the 737. So he's actually like got qualification because he wants to go be an airline pilot someday. So he already had to, you have to get that qualification before you even apply for a job.
So he knows what all the buttons do is what I'm saying. Because the buttons
He knows what the buttons do. Yes. He knows how to, I'd get in there and I'd be like, let's just point this thing to the ground and go. But apparently that's not the way to do it.
No. He knows how to turn on he knows how to put the landing gear down, which is important when you want to land.
Yeah, that might be important.
Yeah. Autopilot's important too. Just put it on autopilot and wait till it runs out of fuel.
Sounds fun.
Hey, can I give one last thing? I want to give a quick shout out because we pick on them all the time. You know how we talk about the fact that we have to shop at Walmart, and you know, you talk about the fact that you try and avoid shopping at Walmart. But Walmart did a good thing for the horse world the other day. The Walmart Foundation presented a check of $100,000 to help fund Horses for Healing, which is a school-based therapeutic riding program. It's a high school-based therapeutic riding program. Currently serving children from the Rogers and Bentonton school districts in Alabama. And it's recognized as a model for helping children with disabilities through therapeutic riding, but it's based at the schools. So I think that's kind of cool.
We've already gone over the fact that horses are not allowed on school grounds.
Not allowed
because
in school. I know, I know. But apparently we're in the wrong state. They should have moved to a state over to Alabama, and then they would have been allowed. But yeah, so they did. They donated $100,000 to help that program, and we want to thank them for that because that's a good thing they did.
Well, good. Just don't buy the pork. Just don't buy the pork.
There you go.
For $100,000.
All right, that's it. Let's call it a day. We'll be back tomorrow. We have Endurance Day with Karen Chatton, and then Jamie will be back on Wednesday here on Horses in the Morning. So we hope to see you couple of days. What's that?
Says, I'll be back, but I'll be husbandless, so maybe it means I'll probably have a kid in here. So stick with
me. Get the iPad out. iPad alert.
Oh, man. Love you guys. Stay tuned or yell.
SpongeBob. SpongeBob Marathon. Good luck.
Gabby, here we go.